Okay. I think that's the reason I'm particularly nervous this morning. Usually I'm not nervous. Well, about preaching, but I was going to say that I will give a little disclaimer from my personal experience. When we fill out those new visitor cards, we do want a record of your presence with us, and they serve a purpose. We know who came, and even more importantly, you can put in your prayer requests, and we do pray for those requests. But 20-some years ago, when I stepped into this church for the first time, it was the second or third Sunday of August 2001, and I filled out one of those cards, and lo and behold, that same week, two persons from the church did show up at our home. Our late senior pastor, the founding pastor, and another member that lived right down the street from us. And I got hooked. I've been here since then. So be careful. But we're glad to have you here this morning. We got a word for us today, because many of you may not know this, but when we stand up here, we're not preaching at you or to you. We see ourselves in the message also. Amen? The topic that we have for today is the amazing race. Now, after I got this topic, I said, that used to be isn't that a TV show? It used to be. I confess I've never watched it, but that's neither here nor there. But I love to watch sports whenever I can. It really doesn't matter what the sport is or at what level. I enjoy watching high school and college sports just as much as I enjoyed watching professional sports. While I enjoy watching football, basketball, baseball, soccer, hockey, I also enjoy golf, racing, wrestling, boxing, gymnastics, and track and field, to name a few. There's so many more sports out there. I'd love to watch documentaries, history, news, but news has been going lower and lower on my priority list. But I love to watch sports, and one of the reasons I love to watch sports is that there's so many parallels in sports and so many lessons. Even if we don't play sports, that we can apply to our lives. I did play sports, well, if you consider soccer a sport. I know some people here may think differently, but I did play soccer until I got to high school, and then I switched to basketball. That's my sporting experience. But one of the things that strikes me about sports is the concept of teamwork. Teamwork is, well, obviously very important if you're talking about team sports, right? And a lot of the sports I named above are team sports. But it's also very evident and necessary even in individual sports. North America, and I say North America instead of the United States because there will be games in Canada and Mexico as well as in this country, will be hosting the World Cup Soccer Tournament next summer. Yes. While I realize that soccer comes last in popularity among the five major sports played in the United States, it is by far the most popular sport in other parts of the world. By far. And there's a simple reason for that. It's not in my notes, but I'll tell you this morning. The reason soccer is so popular is that unlike other sports, it really requires no equipment except a relatively flat surface. It doesn't have to be totally flat, and anything round. Anything round. An orange works. A rolled up pair of socks works. No, I tell you, don't lie. Anything round and a relatively flat surface. Beaches are perfect places where, and you know the beach isn't totally flat, right? But that's why it's so popular, because anyone can participate. Now, baseball is popular also because you can just find any kind of stick and hit anything and get good at batting. But that's why. So what the athletes, and we're talking about the international competitions, like the World Cup and even the Olympics and other, well, the Ryder Cup was just on. What those athletes realize, and many of us as believers in Jesus Christ and his finished work fail to realize, is that although in individual sports, even in those tournaments, we may be competing for a medal and we may have our name on it, but the main competition is not against each other. The main competition is one country against the other. We're representing our country. Amen? When we suit up for the United States soccer team, we are representing the United States of America. Amen? We're not standing alone, or we're not fighting for individual accolades. Every sport is a team sport in the sense that it takes a team to be successful. Amen? Likewise, every believer, everyone who calls himself or herself a Christian, needs to be part of a team of like-minded, similarly focused, dedicated individuals who will be part of a help system, a support system, an encouraging system, and a fallback system that will help us become successful. Don't listen to people who tell you, you're a Christian, you're a believer, but you don't need to this organized religion thing, whatever that is. It's not necessary. You believe God, you can stay right at home and pray. You can stay right at home and go to church on the television and send them all your money in the process. That is a lie from the devil himself. We cannot be successful believers as lone rangers, because that's who the enemy is looking for. I told you one of the things I like to watch is nature shows. What do the predators do when they want to catch the prey? Number one, they look for the weakest in the herd, right? They look for the weakest in the herd, then they devise all kinds of strategies to divert the adults and to get that weaker animal separated from the herd. Amen? And then they pounce and devour it. That's what the enemy is wanting to do with us when we listen to those people that tell us, you don't need to go to church. You don't need to be part of a fellowship. You don't need to have other Christians around you, encouraging you and spurring you on, exhorting you, praying for you. Don't listen to them. In the sports world, you may have an individual sport. Tennis is an individual sport. But Even a tennis player has a whole team of crew members. You have the people that do the scheduling, you have the fitness people, you have the nutrition people, you have practice partners. I mean, it takes a whole team. Gymnasts, they're individuals. But it takes a whole team. Even cheerleading. Yes. No, what I'm getting at is that it's not a lone region thing. You may have the talent. Yeah, having the talent is the beginning. But that talent needs to be developed and improved, because everybody has some measure of talent, right? What separates the great ones from the good ones is what they put into it. First in the gym, last to leave. Say, shoot 100 shots. No, well, I'll double it. I'll shoot 200 free throws. Then I'm not like Shaq. Let's look at a passage of scripture this morning and see some truths we can glean from God's word. Hebrews chapter number 12 and the first two verses. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, I'm reading from the New King James Version. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We're going to read that same passage from the North Island. I was going to say the North Idaho version. It's actually the New International Version. Sorry about that. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We'll read one more. That same passage, again from the Good News Translation. As for us, we have this large crowd of witnesses around us. So then, let us rid ourselves of everything that gets in the way, and of the sin which holds onto us so tightly, and let us run with determination the race that lies before us. Let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from beginning to end. He did not give up because of the cross. On the contrary, because of the joy that was waiting for him, he thought nothing of the disgrace of dying on the cross. And he is now seated at the right side of God's throne. What a beautiful passage of scripture. So we see, therefore, the first two readings start with therefore. And that's a word that really means for what purpose or why. In the old, in the original King James Version, what used to be called the Authorized Version, the word wherefore is used, but they have the same meaning. So why should we run this race? Number one, we should run the race because we have been commanded to do so. Amen? However, the exhortation or the command or the desire for us to run is contingent upon us first signing up to be part of the team. Amen? Would you imagine how chaotic it would be if you were organizing a race or you are doing something and random people just showed up who are not connected or who are not part of the team? It's no different here. When we voluntarily answer the call of God upon our lives and accept the finished work of Jesus Christ that he accomplished on the cross and sign up to be part of God's team, then we are obligated to function as part of that team and to join this race that is set before us that the scripture talked about in the passage we read in Hebrew. Signing up to be part of the team is and should be completely voluntary. No one is forced to be part of this team. God wants us, he desires that we follow him and serve him, but he has given us a free will to accept him or to reject him. We may not see it in those terms, but not accepting him is actually the same as rejecting him. Amen? It's the same as rejecting him. We should run this race because God has called us as part of his team. And the second reason, according to the passage, that we should run this race is because we have a multitude of witnesses, many of which have blazed the trail before us. Amen? It's no coincidence that this passage that we just read comes immediately after the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, which is the Hall of Fame of Faith. We've had faithful people who have come before us, who have run, who have stumbled, who have fallen, who have gotten up, who have sinned, who have repented, who have continued walking and running and participating as part of God's team. At the same time, we also have contemporaries cheering for us. Imagine yourself in a stadium. I was watching the game the other night, the Mariners game, and I heard they had 70,000 in the stadium. I didn't even know it held that much. Or was it the Huskies game? It was the Huskies game. It said it had 70,000. And they were not tailgating, they were sailgating. They had all the boats out in it. You know, it was a beautiful day, one of the few they have there on that side in Seattle. But imagine you're in a stadium and you have people cheering you on. Picture that in our walk with Jesus. We have people that are on our team. Some of them we don't know, some of them we don't see. But they're praying for us. They're encouraging us, whether we know it or not. They're calling us, texting us, say, keep on, press on. Don't give up. I know you're going through a rough patch, but I've been there before. Others have been there before. One of the tricks of the enemy is trying to isolate us and convince us that nobody understands what we're going through. He'll be so stupid sometimes that he'll try to tell us even God doesn't understand what we're going through. How dumb. Nothing that we go through is unique to us. The scripture tells us that Jesus was tempted in all manner like we are, yet without sin. So don't be fooled by the enemy. We are part of the same team. We're not competing against each other. I always told people that there's enough unsaved people out there that churches shouldn't be competing for members. You don't need to one-up the other person in order to attract more members. Because number one, you're attracting people for the wrong reason. For the show, for the sound effects, for the smoke and all that stuff. We don't have all that here. But what we do have is the Spirit of God at work and the Word of God that we hope to bring you and apply to our lives. Amen? So we have a cloud of witnesses who are also people that are on our team and encouraging us. Why should we run? The race is all before us. No need to look behind as many of us like to do. Can you imagine driving, but you don't look through the windshield, you look only in the rear view mirror? That's a formula for disaster. But many of us like to live our lives that way. Again, is one of the tricks of the enemy. You ever knew anybody who always talk about what they used to be in the past and what they did before? And no. This race is in front of us. I've seen many. The first time I saw a walking race, I almost fell out of my chair laughing. It just looks funny. But I don't think I've ever seen a race where people ran backward. I'm sure it might exist somewhere. I've never seen one. We have to stay focused on the now and on the future. The past is gone. Whatever we did in the past is gone. Don't let the enemy keep beating us down and reminding us. And get this, he never reminds us of the times we triumphed in the past. No, that's not his strategy. His strategy is to constantly remind us of failures and times that we failed. Amen? Don't allow him to do that. It's all ahead. Everywhere you see, press forward, right? What else? We are not in this race. We're not running against each other. Let's get that today. We're not competing against each other. We have a common foe in the race of life that we take on when we become members of God's team. We all in this together. We should be united in preparing for the strategies of the enemy and helping each other overcome them. Amen? None of us wants to see any of us fail in this race. No. But what does the scripture say? The scripture says we are more than overcomers through Jesus Christ. Because he already paid the price and made the way for us. So the foe is not your brother or sister. Yes, they may have said something bad about you. They may have gossiped. They may have done fill in the blank. It's not them. Amen? It's not them. It's the enemy that they allowed to use them to do whatever they did. That's why Jesus looked at Peter. He didn't say, Peter, you know what he said? Get thee behind me, Satan. Jesus was not particularly politically correct. As those of you who have read the Bible can attest. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. Because he could see that even though it was Peter saying this thing, it was not really him, but the enemy was operating through him. Third point, and this is very important. Everyone who reaches the end wins. Amen? The scripture says the race is not to the swift, right? Nor the battle to the strong. Everyone who reaches the end wins. Why is that important? Because a lot of us, when faced with struggles, faced with problems, faced with setbacks, whatever way, shape, or form they may take, tend to want to give up. We can't give up. We can't give up. Yes, you may not be able to run as fast as you could. I definitely can't jump as high as I could. Heck, I can hardly get off the ground. But I refuse to give up. If I can't run, I'll walk. If I can't walk, I'll crawl. But I will continue to press forward. Because I have a God who called me and has commanded me to do so. And I know that he has already prepared a way that I can continue to press forward. He has provided already everything that I need to finish this race. Can I see it all? No. Can I touch it? No. But do I know it? Yes. Amen? Because I know the God that I serve. He has revealed himself in his word. He will never call us to do something that he hasn't equipped us to do. What he wants us to do is to trust him and rely on him. We sang the song, I Surrender, in worship earlier, right? He wants us to trust in him. Surrender our will to his will. Surrender our plans to his plans. Surrender our desires to His desires. Surrender our strength to His strength. Because guess what? His strength is infinitely more than ours. The tendency as humans is to struggle in our own strength until we can't struggle no more. And then we think about God as a last resort. Amen? Maybe it's just me. Then we think about, oops, maybe I should take this to God. And guess what? When we do that, He just smiling, you little bugger, I knew you'd come back. He's so loving. He's always waiting for us to turn to Him. As humans, we'll say, no, go try it yourself. Continue. But He has given us everything that we need to be successful in reaching the end of our race. Whatever that race is, all of us don't have the same race. Some of us is a sprint. Some of us is a marathon. Some of us is uphill. Some of us is downhill. Each of us has our own course that we're on. The important thing is that we finish. Amen. Because everyone who finishes wins. So why should we run? Because He's called us to. How should we run the race? And we'll look at some strategies from the passage we just read. One is to lay aside every weight. The three versions we read said it differently. But all of them mention that ugly three-letter word with an I in the middle that you even hardly hear in churches nowadays. Sin. We have to lay aside every weight, both external and internal. And then the scriptures talk about it. And the sin that so easily entangles us. One of them said entangles. New King James said ensnares. Good news said anything that gets in the way. So for different people, those weights and sins would obviously be different. Amen? I had thoughts at one point of being a cheerleader. I quickly gave those up. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I would never pass, but I like food. I like food too much. But each of us knows what our heavy weight is. And those things, and again, that's why the scripture, God is wise. That's why the scripture talks about weight and things that so easily entangle us as separate from sin. Do we see that? Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. So there are things that may hinder us from being successful and finishing this race that are not necessarily sinful. Amen? Sometimes it's people that we have around us. Or friends that we think we have that exist somewhere in cyberspace. Sometimes it's stuff that takes the place that God should have in our lives. Sometimes it's that thing that the Bible describes the love of which as the root of all evil. It starts with M. You win the gold star. Sometimes, whatever it may be, what I'm trying to drive home is that the weight and stuff that easily entangles us does not necessarily have to be a bad thing on the surface. But why is it bad for us? Because it's preventing us from being successful in our race. Amen? Now you may say, well, that person is in the exact same circumstance, but they're running successfully. Because it's not entangling them. Amen? But it's entangling me. So I have to get rid of it. I have to cast it off. I have to ask God to give me the grace and the strength to say no to those things that will weigh me down. Except you're doing sumo wrestling, then you want more weight, right? I was flipping channels one day and came and saw sumo. The guys just eat and sleep. Because you want to be bigger. So I'm sure they have other things that affect them. But I won't go into that now. But we have to know those things that have the tendency to cause us to be weak and ineffective in the race that God has called us to run. That's what I'm saying. And the scripture said we should lay those aside. And then the sin. Let's not forget about that word. The sin that so easily ensnares us or entangles us. Whatever that is. Whatever that is. There's a long list of them. But we need to know what those are in our own individual lives. And to take that to God and ask Him for His help in getting rid of them and enabling us to be more effective for Him. Remember, it's not about us. It's not about our comfort. It's not about our fame. It's about bringing glory to our Lord and Savior. Amen? Lay aside every weight. Get rid of every hindrance and obstacle. Except you're running hurdles, then the obstacles are there for a reason, right? But we need to get rid of everything that hinders us. And every obstacle that we can. Now, sometimes God puts obstacles in our way for a reason. And He will get rid of them sometimes. Sometimes He'll want us to go over them. Sometimes He'll want us to go around them. The issue and the main thing is to recognize what those things are and to bring them to our Lord and ask for His help for us to press forward. Amen? The third thing we see in the passage is that we have to run with patience, endurance, and persistence. Now, while those three words may generally mean the same thing, they're different. Run with patience. Well, if you're running a 100-yard dash, there's not time to be very patient during that race because it's finished. But you still need the endurance and you still need persistence. If you're running a marathon or a 2,000 meter or whatever it is, then you got to pace yourselves and be patient and take advantage of the slopes and all that stuff. But then we need to have endurance for whatever the distance, whatever the length. whatever the length of our race, we have to have endurance. And get this, God will not call us to run a race for which he has not blessed us with the endurance to finish it. Amen? He will not call us to run a race for which we don't have the endurance to finish it. And persistence. Persistence means giving up is not an option. Don't worry, I'm not going to tell the story. Giving up is not an option. My wife is looking at me. I won't tell the story. No, I will. When I was a very persistent fellow when we met, and she tried to resist. As soon as I said persistent, I saw her eyes light up. But I didn't give up. So I'll leave that with you. But we have to be persistent. Sometimes now when we argue, I tell her, I should have listened when you told me to go away. It's too late now. I'm sentenced to life without. Anyway, we have to be persistent. We can't let the slightest setback cause us to fail in what God has called us to do. That's the point I'm trying to drive home. Yes, there may be times we may not be as effective as we should. There may be times where the load is just too heavy to drop or to deal with. And those are the times when we need to rely on the team that's around us. Amen? And ask for help. Ask God, but also ask our brethren. Remember, we're all on the same team. We're rooting for one another. We're supporting one another. I'll have the worship team come up at this time. What else do we have to do? Look to Jesus as our perfect example. Hopefully, none of us here will ever be faced with a choice of being hung up on a cross. Jesus was. And what the scripture says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, perfecting, despising the shame. NIV says, scorning its shame. He's our perfect example. The scripture says he's the author, he's the beginning of our faith, and he's the end, and everything in between. He is our perfect example. Because he's walked this earth before. Long before us. He faced obstacles. He faced opposition. He faced a lot of things. He faced a horrible death on the cross. But he endured it for our sakes and in obedience to the Father. He endured it. So when things get rough, let's go to Jesus. When things are good, let's go to Jesus. Don't get me wrong and say everything you have to be at your wit's end. No, no, no. He wants us coming to him all the time. And then the last thing is to keep our focus on the finish line. Because guess what? Only those that finish win. Here's the kicker. None of us know where that finish line is. God knows. We don't. But as long as we keep our eyes on Him and rely on Him, He will give us the ability to keep pressing forward until we reach our finish line. The problem with us is that we want to know where it is. When I was much younger, many of you might not be, but you will believe it, because I was not always, well, I'm still not a very good guy, but we'll go hang out all night New Year's Eve, and then about 5 to 12, we'll just find the nearest church and step in the door and stand right in the back to say that we were in church when the New Year, when the New Year's broke. That can't work with God's race. Because then we knew exactly when 12 midnight was. None of us knows our finish line. And that's why it's important to keep focus. Keep focus on Jesus. Keep our eyes on the prize. And run strong. Please stand.
Okay. Wow. Imagine that. I think they bamboozled you. No. What a great message. What a great reminder. What a great encouragement for us this morning. And I would like to just leave you with a passage of scripture in Philippians. And this is Paul talking, and he's talking to the Philippian church and telling them, like, I have nothing to boast about, or if I had anything to boast about in my flesh, then I, of all people, had something to boast about, because I was a Jew, I was a Pharisee, I was, you know, the persecutor of the church, I had zeal for God. But in chapter 3, verse 7, he starts in verse 7 by saying this, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in Him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to the power and to know the power of His resurrection and participation in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow attaining the resurrection of the dead. But not that I have already obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's why we run the race. We run the race to press hold. We run the race to obtain the goal that Jesus has laid out before us, to obtain the crown of righteousness that awaits those of us that persevere to the end. So persevere, stand firm, trust in Him, and believe that His way is a great way for you, because it is. Amen? By the way, this is not my phone, okay? This is my mother's. So if you're wondering why I got a pink phone up here, it's not mine. Anyways, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You so much, God, that You love us, that You care for us, Lord, that through Your righteousness we can have a relationship with God. Lord Jesus, I just pray that each and every one of us would run this race, that we would run it with perseverance, Lord, that we would run it straining towards You, God, keeping our eyes fixed on You. Help us to focus always on You and Your will and Your plan. Lord, I just pray that You would continue to strengthen us and encourage us. Help us to walk in Your ways always, Lord. And we just thank You for this church body. We thank You that we can encourage one another, that we can lift one another up, that we can hold each other's burdens as we walk this race, God. Help us to finish the race strong, whenever that may be. And Lord, we just thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.